Hey everyone, it's Monday, so we've got another episode of The Road to Revenue and Happiness. Today's episode is all about practice reducing negativity. And you're going to learn about how our system works, what to do and control, and finally, how do we practice reducing negativity? Please come join me this Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for my free training. You can join my text community at 949-298-2905. Email me anytime at david@dmeltzer.com or register for the training at dmeltzer.com/training. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. Welcome. Here we are on Friday, the road to revenue and happiness. And we're going to talk about how to deal with negativity. I call it the practice of reducing negativity because we'll have negativity in our lives in a variety of different ways our entire lives. So we want to diminish that negativity's capacity and allow things to flow through us for others in a very positive way. Remember, the truth vibrates the fastest, and so will positivity. Well, let's start off by understanding how our system works. And our system is comprised of three different subsystems that allow and are affected by negativity. The first is our conscious system. And the conscious is a data collection. It utilizes two different sources. One, your senses, what you say, do, your touch, smell, hear, all of the conscious things that we have. And there's 10,000 new thoughts in the conscious every day. 10,000 new data inputs every day, which is why it's so important to enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your potential, to repeat that information, because we have a cellular memory that's really stupid and it forgets things when the sun goes down. That's right, it forgets things when you go to sleep. So our conscious is from the time we open our eyes to the time we close it, and it's inputting data, 10,000 new data points a day, and it's relying on two faulty systems, our senses, the five senses that we have, and our memories, to remember what it was and put it into context of what we think it was, or project our own perception of what it is. Those 10,000 thoughts then go to the second thought space, the second thought category called the subconscious. And the subconscious, what it does is it stores 40,000 of the same thoughts and keeps accessing every day, determinative upon what? What we consciously think, say, and do, what we consciously utilize our memory and our senses to do. So it is the intermediate memory compared to the conscious memory, which is when we open our eyes till we close it. Now the subconscious memory is a intermediate memory with 40,000 of the same thoughts. So we want to make sure not only we control the positivity of the input of the 10,000, but we want to take inventory of what 40,000 thoughts exist in our subconscious and how we're accessing those every single day and what effect those have. And then the third thought silo is called our unconscious. And our unconscious is dictated by our DNA, our quantum memory. It is our hard drive. What makes the unconscious so difficult to understand, and the effect that it has not only on our subconscious, the 40,000, the same thoughts, but also our conscious of how we perceive those 10,000 data inputs that are relying on the two faulty systems of our senses and, of course, our memory. The unconscious competency that we have, the hard drive that we have, the quantum memory that we have, that creates the frequency or vibration in order to what? Create the awareness that we have. And if anything should be raised and exercised and practiced in order to reduce negativity in our life, it's awareness. Right? Awareness makes life simple. I started to meditate on the realm of awareness when I realized that I could be aware of when to buy or sell. That's what motivated me to meditate at first, is simply to have the awareness of when to buy or sell. What a great gift that is in the pragmatic world. But we need to understand that there's three different silos of thought. There's the 10,000 new thoughts we have every day, the 40,000 of the same thoughts that we have every day, and of course, the unconscious competency, the quantum memory, the DNA, the hard drive, the frequency that we have, that guess what? Is inherited. And doctors will prove this, inherited at least from four generations down. So my genetics are from at least my great-grandparents to my grandparents to my parents to me. I'm a little bit freaky in the woo-woo world. You don't have to be spiritual like I am, but I believe in more than one life. So I believe my quantum memory not only is genetically chained and indicated and put into my hard drive, but I believe past lives as well, which makes it even more difficult to control positivity in all three silos, conscious, subconscious, and the unconscious mind. So how do we control the three silos? How do we control? Well, number one, we need to control, and we have control of our actions. We have control of what we think, what we say, what we do, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch, what we hear. We have control over the inputs that we allow into this extraordinary three silo system that can keep on indicating, changing our frequency, making it stronger, widening the spectrum, and clearing and clarifying our message, giving us clarity, balance, and focus to give us confidence and positivity and happiness in our life. And so we need to control those five senses. And this is especially important today. I used to say it's really important to control what you say. I think today, with all the inundated news that we have, all the negativity that surrounds us, because we have such exposure and awareness to everything that's happening in the world, that we have to be careful what we're hearing, not just what we're saying. You can't just keep hearing negative things all day long and not think it's not going to affect your conscious silo, your subconscious silo, and a long-term effect into your unconscious competency, your hard drive. You would be foolish to think that it's not going to have an effect on any of those. So we need to control what we say, what we hear, what we touch, feel, smell, all those things. If it's negative, we need to cut it out of our lives. We need to control the 10,000 inputs, because that's the seed that gets watered and grows into the trees that become us. And we need to be able to do that. So make sure that we control our actions, what we smell, taste, hear, say, touch. That will affect the way we remember it as well. What does remember come together, unify with our thoughts, our actions? The second is we need to control the subconscious, the memories that we have. Because what we do to familiarize ourselves or project what we see, taste, touch, feel, what we use to create the illusions of what exists, is we actually use, right, our memories. And our memories exist and access that subconscious 40,000 of the same thoughts, which are aggregated by every single day, right? Prioritized and aggregated by what we think, say, do, and what we remember. And if we keep thinking, saying, and doing, and remember the exact same things, it can change our subconscious. It can change our memory, our projection. We can start seeing things with the light, the love, and the lessons that we want to see. We can see not just the glass half full, but we can see it overflowing, which is the mindset that we control. So we control our actions and our mindset. And if we control our mindset and our memories of the 40,000 and the access to the 40,000 thoughts, our beliefs change. We actually have a physical change in our system where we have neural pathways that are formed in our brains that then use those, hardwiring us to project or see the illusions that we want to see and make our reality happen. That allows this continuum, this three silo continuum, to work in our favor, not against us. And that's so important. And so we want to make sure that we control our actions. We have control of those, our mindset. And the next thing that we want to control is our heart set. And we have, and this is the most difficult, we have control of our feelings. Yes, we control what we think, say, do, touch, feel, smell, etc. Yes, we can control our memory and our belief systems, right? By having the correct silos and inputs and access to those 40,000 of the same thoughts. But more importantly, we can control how we feel about something. We can control our energy. When we feel, we call those emotions. What are emotions? Energy in motion. And that energy and motion is what gnaws away and keeps on inputting into our hard drive, into our DNA. It changes our frequency. It shifts our energy. It allows us to attract what we want in our lives, not what other people want. And we want to make sure this entire three silo system is controlled by using a filter of gratitude, allowing us to find the light, the love, and the lessons in the first thoughts that we have and what we think, say, do, touch, feel, smell, and hear. And we want to use that same gratitude for the belief systems that we have. We want to believe and have hope and faith. And then, of course, we want to have the energy and the frequency so that when we think, say, do, and believe all the right things happen. How many of us out there right now think, say, do, and believe all the right things, but they get the exact same results again and again and again? How many of us? I'll tell you why. Because you haven't hit the unconscious competency. You haven't gotten to the frequency part, the energy part. You need to shift that. And there is some inherent beliefs that are within you that are reinforcing your unconscious competency, your hardwire, your DNA. So we can't just think, say, do, believe, touch, feel, smell, and taste all the right things and stop there. We have to understand the second silo of the subconscious because it is inputting into the unconscious competency. We have to make sure the 40,000 of the same thoughts that we have every single day are the ones that we want, the one that will break the chains of addiction, break the chains of scarcity, break the chains of negativity. That's what will do it in a consistent, persistent pursuit and allow you to enjoy that, to make the biggest changes in your life. Enjoy that, to be there. Last, how now? Understanding first how the system works with the three silos, conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, and how we control within the context of those three silos our actions, which are based off of our senses, and then we also control our mindset, and most importantly, our heart set, which allows the projector of illusions to project what we want to see. So how do we practice knowing now how our system works and how we control that system? How do we practice reducing negativity? Right? Our objective is to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of reducing negativity every single day in our lives. Not eliminating it. Right? We don't have control of exterior sources, right? I always tell people, you know, all you cowards out there, look in here. We only can control in here, what we just mentioned, which is your actions, your mindset, and your heart set. But when we do that, we want to continue this journey, this pursuit of reducing the negativity in our life and allowing all the abundant, more than enough of everything for everyone to come through us with that same gratitude for others. And the first thing that we do is we seek what we want. So much we're inundated with. It's thrust upon us what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we hear, what we say. It's thrust upon us. No, you need to seek what you want. You need to vote what you want. You need to elect what you want. Don't sit around all day and listen to negative news all day long and think that you're going to be a positive person. If you need stable data in order to effectuate pragmatic business or life decisions, go seek what you want. Seek the sources. Don't let it inundate you. When you seek what you want, that's what you get. Not just in data, but in people. When I was the CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment, I was blessed to have an office, not just because it looked over Catalina Island, but because it was between two of the most extraordinary human beings that are on earth, Lee Steinberg and Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. And my office was right in between those, and I had made a deal, because I was living in San Diego at the time, with Lee, that I wake up at 4, I will be the first one in the office, but if he could allow me to leave at 4 o'clock so I could be home with my family and miss traffic by 5 o'clock, then I would be more fulfilled, passionate, purposeful, and thus profitable in the position that I was given. And the funny thing was, when I came up with this deal and talked to Warren, he always told me to go the other way, away from Lee's office, because invariably, if I walked by Lee's office at 4 o'clock to leave and said goodbye, he would pull me in and start teaching me and mentoring me. And the next thing I know, it was 7:30. And not just because Lee was a wealth of knowledge, but because I felt that I was losing out, right? The FOMO, if I didn't stay and learn from one of the greatest geniuses that I've ever met. And so as my job kept transpiring, I would get in more and more trouble with my wife, and she was less and less patient with my job. And I would try to avoid Lee. And because I would try to avoid Lee, what you resist persists. Every single time he'd say, Dave, come in here. And so I'd still be late. And then I'd drive home and I'd say to myself, oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble. My wife's gonna be so mad at me. I did it again, blah, 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 blah. And guess what? When I got home, my wife was mad at me, right? And I was in so much trouble. And then I started learning all of this stuff, right? 2006, 2 years before I lost everything, I started learning, man, why not seek what I want? What I think, say, do, and believe, and the unconscious competency. And so what did I do? I got pulled into Lee's office maybe once or twice a week. And then on my drive home, I started to say, I am so blessed to have such an extraordinary wife with such patience that will be so grateful that I am doing this for our family to provide more opportunity and access and support for not only us, but our whole community. And guess what? When I got home, that's what I got, a patient, kind, understanding wife. We actually can control the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious silos by seeking what we want, by using the systematic empowerment that we've been given to project the illusions that we want instead of creating resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles, or seeking what we don't want, or being inundated with what we don't want and just allowing it to be part of that continuum, those three silos. Now, another area besides seeking is a very common area of negativity, and it's one of the most common questions that I get with my executive coaching, from my coaching groups, from our community at Free Training. One of always the question, what do I do with negative people in my life? What do we do with the negative people, right? If we're not supposed to think, say, do, believe, hear negative things, what do I do if I live with a negative person? What do I do if I work with a negative person? What do I do if my friends are negative? What do I do if I'm on a negative football team? I won't mention any names. Nope, just kidding. That's a positive team. Anyway, what do I do? First, you got to decide there's two types of people. There's two types of people. The first are the people that I get to choose to be with. And then the second group of people is the people that I don't get to choose who to be with. And we have to do that because there's two different strategies of reducing negativity in your life, and it needs to be determined by, number one, are you choosing to be in this relationship, or do you not get to choose to be in this relationship? So let's start with the easier one. When we choose to be in a relationship, we want to implement what I call the fall away or fire strategy. The easiest way when we are choosing relationships that are increasing negativity or providing negativity into our life, into those three silos, and they're changing our own frequency, and we keep attracting the same kind of people, the exact same kind of people into our life. You know, I have teenage daughters, and they'll tell me, oh, I'm never going out with a guy like that again. And then boom, same guy, just 6 inches taller, different color, different size, different muscles. Same guy, attracting the same things. Right? You choose. So what do? When we acquire the knowledge that this is not what we want, that it's negative, that it's causing resistance, interference, and voids and shortages between me and the greatest source of light, love, and lessons, my happiness, the truth. What do? Fall away. Fall away. The easiest way is to limit the amount of contact. Don't seek them. When they seek you, fall away, fall back, and eventually the energy and connection will dissipate and you will be able to supplement them with someone more positive and aligned with your personal, experiential, giving, and receiving values. If they don't fall away, you got to do something that I did, which is difficult but life-changing. You got to fire. Fall away or fire. If they're not going to fall away, then you got to fire them as friends. And the way that you fire a friend is through illuminating the truth, which is, I don't like myself when I'm around you. Do not put it on them. Take complete accountability. Ask yourself, what did I do to attract this to myself? And what am I supposed to learn from it? Yes, you are accountable. So tell them that you don't like yourself when you're with them and that you're not going to be able to be with them anymore. Okay? That's what we want to do. And so looking at that, you need to fall away or fire. But you need to surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas. And those people are giving you ideas. Those people are telling you what to listen to, what to read, where to go, what to do, all of the different things. You have to learn to love you and fall away and fire those people that you choose to be around. Now, more challenging is the question, what do we do when we can't choose who are around, right? My brother, my sister, my mommy, my daddy, my cubby mate, my office partner, whatever it is. What do? When we don't get to choose who we're spending time with? There's two things that we do. It's the understand and pray for the happiness methodology. The first step in order to be around people that are negative, that you don't get to choose to be around, is to try to learn why they're so negative. Try to understand them. Try to connect to them. You got to ask those questions. Well, why do you feel that way? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Try to create an emotional connection so that you can increase their positivity to increase the connection between you two of positivity. You may be able to help them. And by praying for their happiness, it will have a positive effect whether or not you understand or could get alignment to why they're so negative or why they make you feel bad. And when you do that, understanding and praying for their happiness, when you pray for someone's happiness, you cannot feel bad. In fact, you cannot feel bad enough to make somebody happy, just like you can't feel sick enough to someone make someone well. It's the same thing. And what do we do then if we can't understand them and they continue to be negative? Then you can just pray for their happiness, right? What you resist persists. Just keep praying for their happiness if they're pouring their negativity, attacking thoughts, judgments, and conditions on you, making you feel bad. The only thing you can do is understand yourself of why anything they are saying should make you feel any way, because we have control of what? We have control of what? Our feelings, our heart set, our mindset, and what we say, hear, smell, touch, right? All of those things and see. You have control. So understand and pray for happiness if you don't get to choose those relationships. Finally, how do we control? We know how the system works. We know what we can control. We know how to practice reducing negativity. But there's one clear indicator. It's in my book, Connected to Goodness, which, by the way, if anyone wants a guide on reducing negativity, just email me, david@dmelcher.com. You can join my text community, 949-298-2905. I will give you my book, which clearly shows all of this, including cancel, clear, and connect. The ultimate solution of reducing negativity in your life. The greatest way to clear the interference and corrosion between the light, love, and lessons that you want to come through you and others. Cancel, clear, connect. Email me, david@dmelcher.com, 949-298-2905. I'll give you the book for free. I'll give you the guide for free. All right, here we go. So if we're in a three-silo continuum of the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, number one, we don't want to allow any negative thoughts, hearing, touching, tasting, any negativity into the continuum. We don't want it to go to silo two, and we definitely don't want it to keep reinforcing silo three. So what do? We need to get into the practice of cancel, clear, connect. What is the practice? Number one, when you say something negative, when you think it consciously, when your eyes are open and something negative has happened, just say cancel. Say it out loud or say it to yourself, cancel. Oh, I hope I don't get, cancel. I hope that doesn't happen. I cancel. I hope, cancel if it's negative. What if, cancel. I'm worried about, cancel. I hate, nope, cancel. You are, start defining people, judgments, conditions, attacking thoughts, cancel, cancel, cancel. Keep on canceling it. Do not allow one of those 10,000 thoughts to carry any negative energy. Allow every single one to accelerate and grow that three silo system that will change your frequency and allow everything to come rapidly and accurately and simply into your life. Now, what do we do if the same thing keeps happening? Right? I can't get out of mind. And a lot of you, I'm sure, have been there at night or in the morning. Let it go. Let it go. She didn't mean to say that. Let it go. You're going to get the job. Let it go. You'll get into that school. Let it go. I'm not going to lose her. Let it go. Canceling's not working. That's where clear comes in. Because what's happening is you now have a clear indication and awareness that your subconscious somewhere stores this negativity in its 40,000 thoughts. It hosts that 40,000 thoughts in negativity, and you need to clear it out. Now, canceling can happen in one time, something that's at the surface, at the conscious level, in the short-term memory of your cells that only remembers things when you have your eyes open. But subconsciously, if it keeps coming up, you just gotta keep on clearing it. So how do we clear it? Just like a ferocious Buddha, right? Straighten your spine, breathe through your nose, out through your mouth, tell yourself clear. Clear. Let one of those negative 40,000 thoughts go. And after you consistently do that, all of a sudden that thought never comes back. It's gone bye-bye. You no longer have to waste energy, emotion, resources, and money getting rid of it, accelerating in the wrong trajectory in the ego-based consciousness, stuck with a need of negativity, a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, guilty, resentful. You guys know it. You can clear your mind. Now, what happens when the canceling's not working? When the clearing's not working? What happens? There's something sometimes that is inherent in our being. Addictions, characteristics, personality traits, obsessions and addictions, they're all there and we can't get rid of it. It's been handed down from lifetimes or grandparents and great-grandparents and parents. We can't break the chain. We can't break the chain no matter what I think, say, do, and believe. It's always the same result. What do we do? I'm going to teach you one of the magic things of shifting energy and frequency. It needs to be done and enjoyed in a consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of the potential of shifting your energy to a higher awareness, to a happier state. So what do we do to connect? To connect or clear the connection to the greatest source of power, light, and love? Well, I'm going to give you something to do, but promise me that you do it by yourself in a quiet place, because people will get worried. People will get worried if they see you doing this, but I'm going to give it to you right now. In my life, I got into and lost everything, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. And it kept coming up, and I canceled, and I cleared, and it kept on coming up. And all the people that I was in blame, shame, and justification, and I gave gratitude to, and I gave forgiveness for, and I took accountability of, it would still come up. It was inherent. I had attracted in my life, right, all the time, since my dad and my grandpa, right, I have attracted liars, cheaters, manipulators, oversellers, and back-end sellers. And I'd surrounded myself with that energy and frequency, and I kept on doing it. So what you do is you find and take awareness of what you want to shift as your energy, right? I don't want that anymore. So I took a picture of one of the people that I felt was a liar, a cheater, manipulator, overseller, and back-end seller, and I shut my eyes. And I took and found a light. I found the light, the love, and the lessons. Oh, this person is a good person. They help our community. I didn't focus in on all the bad things, the lying, the cheating, the manipulating, overselling. I focused on all the good things that they did. They were a friend. We had fun, all that. And all of a sudden, I covered, and it doesn't matter what light, I covered that person in my mind's eye with light. And then over here, I pictured what I truly love, my truth. A member of my family, my entire family, or a banana cheesecake foster, doesn't matter. Something that just has a pure, truthful love. And what I did is I took the light from what I hated the most about myself and about them, and I took it and I covered what I loved the most. So now in my mind's eye, I have one big circle in my mom's eye, all with light over it. And then I take that light and I put it over me, and I hold that light until I actually feel my energy shift. When you feel your energy shift, hold it there. You are practicing reducing negativity. You are practicing shifting your energy. You are practicing changing your frequency. The greatest thing about frequency and energy and shifting it is that as much as it's hard when you think, say, and do all the right things and get the wrong things, is if you could shift your energy, when you make those mistakes, as human beings do, it's not going to shift the quantum hard drive that you have, your DNA, if you fix this. Now, it took me 9 years to clear that from any type of unconscious competency that I had. It took me 9 years to start naturally attracting all of the people that I want into my life. I stopped attracting the liars, the oversellers, the back-end sellers, manipulators. And if they do come into my life, if I accidentally choose someone like that, not attract them, I will know instantly because it's so non-synergistic with my system. And you too can do this. All you need to do in order to reduce the negativity is, number one, understand how the system works. The three silos, 10,000 thoughts in the conscious, 40,000 in the subconscious, the hard drive, the unconscious competency, the quantum memory and the DNA, the frequency and the energy. We understand how that information flows and how it changes. We have to know what we control, right? What we think, say, do, believe. We control our actions. We control our mindset. And most importantly, we control the way we feel. In other words, the way that we feel, putting the energy in motion, will have the most power over what we have in our lives. And so if you have control now of the actions, the mindset, and the heart set, we now can practice negativity, reducing negativity by seeking what we want, by picking the people in our lives, let them fall away or fire them, or understand and pray for their happiness. And then finally, get into the practice of cancel, clear, connect. And you will have the higher frequency, the higher vibration, attract things that you want in your life, elect them into your life, and raise your awareness to make your life simple and happy with less negativity. Especially in these days of compressed uncertainty and accelerated change, it's essential to understand the system, control the system, and use a practice of reducing negativity in order to be happy. My mission is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. I'm looking for 1,000 of you to empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 times 1,000, 1,000,000,000. That's why I do these free trainings every single Friday. That's why I give my book for free, david@dmeltzer.com. Join my text community, 949-298-2905. All of this just to help spread the greatest virus of all time, happiness. It spreads simply by witnessing it. It will strengthen your immune system and protect you from other viruses. It will strengthen you emotionally, physically, and financially. Happiness is the pursuit that I want you to have. All right, now we got tons of questions in here. Let's get to the questions. Always my favorite part. Thank you, everybody. Remember, reach out if you want the book, the exercises, the guides, you want to register for other things, please. I am doing a pitch competition for a TV show, so join that. Same address, same text number. It's August 28th. How to use others' negativity to our benefit and not try to change it. Well, so what you resist persists. What you resist persists. And so when we try to change a closed environment, I always say it takes more effort to change a closed environment than it does to change 1,000 open ones. So for me, I use other people's negativity to save me time, resources, and money as an indicator that I'm in the wrong place. I'm with the wrong person. I'm going the wrong direction. I'm accelerating into resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles. I use negative energy like bumpers on the car at Disneyland to make sure that I'm not going off track. Oh, negative person. Oh, negative news. Oh, negative this. Oh, right? Keep on using it to keep me on the greatest course trajectory towards the truth, not towards the acceleration of ego-based consciousness, resistance, void, shortages, obstacles, corrosion, and interference to what? The truth that we're seeking, the objective that we're seeking. Next question. Have you ever been accused of stealing a friend's idea, or have someone steal one of your ideas? How did you work through that? Every idea I have is stolen. Every idea that I have has come through me from somewhere else. I believe it already exists. And so, you know, look at my four biggest ideas that I teach. Gratitude, been around forever, stole that. Forgiveness, been around forever, stole that. Accountability, been here forever, stole that. Inspiration, enthusiasm, in spirit, oh, been around forever. Look, I have studied history to understand human nature. Now, what I haven't stole is my interpretation, my perspective of the things, the ideas that we have. I know some really famous artists that would literally wake up in the middle of the night when ideas came to them, write them down because they actually were fearful that another musician might download it themselves from the universe. You have stolen every single idea that you have. Illuminate it. What's your interpretation of the idea? Where's the distinctive property, the quantitative value that you bring to the idea? Remember, if over here is the greatest source of love, light, and lessons that exist, it's the infinity of ideas, and I am clearing the interference and corrosion to those ideas and allow one to come to me, what makes it mine is appreciation. One, that I'm grateful for having it, but even two, that I'm adding my value to it, my personal experiential giving and receiving values, and then I give it away. And so how do I deal and work with other people who think I stole their ideas or people who think I illuminate? I illuminate the fact that I steal every idea, and this is just an illusion, an interpretation, a projection of what I believe according to my values and how it's synergistic or supplementary to it. That's why I won't sign an NDA, because I believe all ideas exist, and I'm not going to put myself into a situation where someone's saying, oh, you stole my idea. Sorry, if you don't want to do business with me and think I'm going to steal your idea intentionally or take something in a scarce manner, don't do business with me. Right? Because I live in an abundant world of more than enough of everything for everyone. I don't care about your ideas. I care about how I'm applying my values to those ideas. And that's what you should be concerned with, and your friends should be concerned with as well. Stop going into ego-based trajectory of scarcity. Get into an abundant world of more than enough of everything for everyone. Next question. Advice for dealing with a negative boss. So a negative boss is someone that we don't get to choose. Now, there are spectrum decisions of, you know, for example, do I move out on my parents, or I have an abusive person in my house that I have to be? No, in the end, you're really choosing to be with the person. And so during that spectrum or analysis of your own personal experiential giving and receiving values, knowing whether it's worth it or not, if there's negativity. If you enjoy all the other aspects of your job and you're paid and you need the financial support or whatever it is, so you now have a situation, what I would call realistically, I don't really get to choose the boss that I have. How do we deal with it? Number one, understand. I think the biggest disconnect that I have, and I try to be as gracious, forgiving, accountable, and inspiring of a boss that I can be, but the biggest disconnect that I have is that there's no understanding sometimes from the employees that I have invested in, sacrificed for, care so much about. They lose empathy, forgiveness, they lose gratitude, they lose accountability, and therefore they create interference and separation from our relationship. And it happens all the time. They go to blame, shame, and justification. Look, you're paid to be there. You're under a social contract to be there. Everyone should be kind. And if there is a situation that you feel like someone's not being kind or fair, then articulate why and understand where they're coming from and pray for the happiness in the situation. Be more interested than interesting. Don't go to blame, shame, and justification. Don't be entitled. Care about every relationship. Care about it enough to understand why someone's making you or asking you or telling you to do something, or why they do it that way, or why they speak to you in a certain manner. You know, I would tell my people, because I come from a football coach type of background, and, you know, even my wife would say, God, Dave, you know, sometimes you're really mean. Well, I'm not mean. I go, people should care if I'm not telling them what to do. You should worry if I'm not talking to you. I'm dead serious about it. You should care and worry, oh, he hasn't said anything. He hasn't given me any constructive criticism. He hasn't motivated me, inspired me. He has not tried to transition me. None of that. He's not paying attention to me. That should be your fear, Not, oh, he hurt my feelings. He told me to be on time. He told me to be on time. Can you believe that, mommy? Mommy's being mean to me. He actually wants me to be there when he's paying me to be there. And this is real. Seriously. Grow up. Understand. Pray for their happiness. Come to a mutual understanding. Manage expectations of what is expected and not expected, especially with your boss, if you value your job. If not, then you can use the fall away or fire your boss approach, which is fine with anyone that we choose to be with. Second, next. I have no audio for some reason. Anyone else? I think everyone has audio, so I apologize for that. Turn up your volume, maybe. I don't know. We're good. Do you have any tips for practicing positive self-talk? Oh, great question. So what do we do with positive self-talk? For me, that's part of the Cancel Clear Connect, is to, as you go, create mantras that are reinforcing. If we have three silos, conscious, subconscious, and unconscious silos, that are in a continuum to shift your energy, your frequency, and raise your awareness to allow you to get things rapidly and accurately that you want, then mantras are a good way. Self-talk is a good way to program the 10,000 of what you want into the 40,000, which will then talk to the unconscious competency, which will change your frequency and your vibration. So one of those for me was, I am worthy. I am worthy. I tell a story about an energy, and this is a good example. When I started this type of work and someone taught me, Sangeeta Sahi taught me this, she told me, you know, you carry an energy that you're stupid. And I said, whoa. Look, I may be insecure about my hairline or my profile, that beautiful schnoz that I have, or I'm a little bit overweight at that time. I may be insecure about that, but I'm not insecure about being stupid. You're wrong. I don't carry an energy about being stupid. No. I don't think you understand. You think, say, do, and believe you're smart. But you carry an energy, a frequency, a vibration that you're not worthy, that you're stupid, and you're projecting that in so many different ways that are causing you to accelerate in the wrong direction, to create interference, void, shortages, and obstacles in your life, David. You need to shift that energy. You need to be worthy. And I kind of thought about, how could I understand the difference between what I think, say, do, and believe, and what was happening in my life, and, you know, surrounding myself with people that may not have the same expression of genius that I have, and that I was surrounding myself with lower vibration situations, books, people, etc. Why? To make myself feel smarter. And it stemmed from the fact that when I was a little boy, I was hyperactive, and my grandma used to babysit all six of us, and my siblings were academic freaks who loved to study. And I used to tell my grandma, lo and behold, at 5, 6, and 7, every single time I was with her, Grandma, I'm bored. And she would say, only stupid people get bored. Smart people think of things to do. And then it got reinforced because my siblings were such grand students that I felt inferior, another ego-based emotion. I felt dumb because they were summa cum laude from Harvard, Penn, and Columbia. I felt stupid. And all of that carried over into my life and created resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles. So I created a mantra that I am worthy. Every time that I meditate, every day, I'm worthy. Whenever I get that feeling of insecurity, of being inferior, separate, or even superior, I am worthy. I am worthy of everything and everyone. I am worthy. And so that's how we use mantras in order to effectuate repetitive 10,000 thoughts into a repetitive access of the 40,000 thoughts into a repetitive input into the quantum memory to break the chain that may have been created from birth, may have been created from your grandparents' parents, great-grandparents, or even other lifetimes. But you need that consistent input of mantras, positive talk, to know how the three silo system works of the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. Next question. How do we stay unconditionally happy while our family members may not be? How do we inspire them to go in the direction of unconditional happiness? Well, first of all, conditions and judgments and attacks are a variable that exists within most human beings. And so what we can do is worry about ourselves, right? All you cowards out there, look in here. All you cowards out there, look in here for where you're putting judgments, conditions, definitions on people. Right? When someone calls me stupid, all they are doing is defining themselves as somebody that would define someone else as stupid. That's the truth. That's the unconditionality of what it is. And what we can do is through our own behavior, our own thoughts, actions, words, beliefs, and unconscious competency, we can set the bar. We can create an energy. Remember, one light, one little speck of light overcomes a million specks of darkness. And when you're sharing your light, it's like a candle. If you're a candle and you light your light, here you are enlightened, you're full of unconditional happiness, and you light your light, but you keep it to yourself, your candle's gonna burn out. But when you share your light with others and light their light, liberate them to give their light, not only do you keep proactively creating more and more light, but your candle stops burning. You are creating infinity, longevity. Your candle does not burn. The more you share your light, the less you burn. So share your light, share your happiness. How do we create a culture of happiness in our workplace on a consistent basis? Be consistent about the values that it takes to be happy. Be consistent about training people to be happy. Be consistent about pointing out the negativity to get rid of it. I remember a story about Sidney Frank, the guy who invented Grey Goose. Like literally, anyone that would come into his office with anything negative, he would stop them and tell them to leave. Come back when you can constructively communicate that in a positive manner. If he heard someone be negative, nope. He was the original Cancel, Clear, Connect. And I thought he was mad when I first heard the story. I'm like, come on, you gotta know the problems. Yes, you can know the problems in a positive way. That's why when there are challenges in our businesses, I make someone come to me, not only with the challenge, but with their idea, their solution, their light, their love, their lesson that they think, and then we can work from a positive direction in order to effectuate a more efficient, effective, and statistically successful way of solving that. Do you have any favorite positive content? Well, the happy song. That's why I put it on beforehand, that happy song. You know, if I feel any negative energy consciously, subconsciously, or in my quantum being, you know, some days quantumly you just wake up and you're a little bit resistant, you're a little bit interfered with, a little bit of corrosion, or you get into some situation that accelerates you in the wrong direction, put on that favorite song. I watch a lot of positive movies. Like, I'm a huge Rocky and Rudy. I like Ford versus Ferrari for some reason. These positive movies. I use podcasts as well and listen to those. Books, Think and Grow Rich, I'll sit down with Napoleon Hill. I'll sit down with A Course in Miracles. I'll read a lot of religious texts of all different religions and pick out the positivity of what they do, studying human nature. Human nature never changes. Next question. What do you do when you are thinking negative thoughts, such as regrets or disappointments from the past, or worrying about something negative happening in the future? Well, those are the two biggest wastes of time, emotion, and energy that have ever existed. And I will tell you why. Because you have no control over either. You have no control over either. So what do we use? What we use is a lens of gratitude for the past. Meaning, if I'm gonna look backwards at the past into history, I'm going to look for the light, the love, and the lesson. I'm gonna look and see how grateful I am, forgiving I am, and accountable I am, and be more inspired by what's happened to me in the past. If there was pain in the past, I'm gonna know that was just an indicator that I had a lesson to learn. I'm gonna equate whether I've learned the lesson, how can I learn the lesson, who can help me learn the lesson, but it's just an indicator, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial pain, all just an indicator that I have a better direction to go in, like a turn signal on a car, I got a better situation to get to, or a way to get my situation better. And then looking forward, what do? We seek. And what do we seek with? Faith. We seek with faith. So the only way to look backwards is with gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability, and inspire. And inspiration is our potential. And looking forward, we use faith with inspiration as our potential. Faith that everything is getting better. Faith that I've learned the lesson, that everything has a touch of favor, that although I don't understand it, it's moving me in a better position, a better way, a better place. I am getting better, I'm getting happier and stronger, and all the different things that light, love, and lessons will bring to us. So when we look back, we use gratitude, empathy, forgiveness, and accountability. When we look forward, we use faith. Next question. Somebody that I followed told me what I am promoting is a bit old. I help people make money online blogging. affiliate marketing using honest words with Twitter, an email list. You have any other ideas how I can promote? Well, first of all, there's a lot of old ideas that are marketed in a different way with a stronger signal, better spectrum, and a clearer message that you can monetize. So I wouldn't try to change what you do. I would try to make what you do better. I would look and see, how can I strengthen the signal of the blogs, the Twitter, the email list? How can I create a spectrum, an avatar, a lookalike that is more aligned with, synergistic or supplementary to the value that I'm trying to convey, with a quantitative value, with the reasons they would like it, the impact it has, and the capabilities that the blog or the email list or the Twitter would have? I would focus in on the fact that I need to get better at what I do. I need to look at and make better what I'm doing before I try to do something else. Your ideas are shared on different platforms. The only other thing that I would do is expand those ideas by sharing it on more platforms. If you're blogging something, tweeting it, and emailing it, you might as well capture it, modify it, and amplify it for all different platforms. All different platforms. Why not? There's a stage theory, right? Shakespeare said, the whole world's a stage. You've created a stage. Capture it, modify it, amplify it, perpetuate it on all the different stages. Create a monetization strategy for each one. And then continually, every day, consistently enjoy the persistent without quit pursuit of the potential that each of those has so that you can make more money, help more people, have more fun, be more happy. What are your thoughts on positive affirmations? Love them. We went through that. Next, who was someone in your life that kept you accountable, making sure you were getting your non-negotiables done every day on your consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential? There's a student of Dave Meltzer, if I've ever heard one. He has all the right vocabulary. I am that person, right? I've had mentors that have helped me understand the non-negotiables and teach me how to take inventory of my values. I've had mentors to teach me accountability, but in the end, they're just reminders. My father tried to hold me accountable, my mother, my friend Rob, my wife, very few people. Because of the early success that I had in my life, I heard yes for an answer too many times. There's a great book, Don't Take Yes for an Answer. I took yes for an answer. And so you need people to remind, remember, and to inspire us to be accountable. But in the end, all you cowards out there, including me, look in here, not out there. Awesome. Do you record the live training? Yes, all the live trainings. You can get david@dmeltzer.com, my text community, 949-298-2905. I have a podcast called The Playbook. It's a top podcast. A great podcast with great guests and great information, but all of the trainings are on the podcast as well. The Playbook, Spotify, iTunes, Entrepreneur, you can find it everywhere. Enjoy The Playbook. We have over 500 episodes or something like that. Can you clarify the email address, please? david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. Which reminds me, by the way, names are very important. And I didn't realize this till later on in life, because if that three-silo system that I say is true and what we hear, think, say, and do, one of the biggest things we hear all the time is our name. And so when you name a child, you should name them something that you have faith or you seek for them. And I don't know, on purpose or an accident, my name means David is beloved, and Meltzer means waiter or servant. And so my entire life I've been hearing beloved servant, beloved servant, beloved servant. And that's what my aspiration is, to be a beloved servant, to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. Is it possible to watch the record all the time, The Playbook? Email me. I got a link. Everyone will get a replay. david@dmeltzer.com. Thank you. Hey, David, thanks for this. What if you are your biggest negative person in your life? Hey, I am. When I was a young executive, one of my mentors said, David, do not treat people the way you want to be treated. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've always heard to treat people the way that I want to be treated. He said, no, you're way too hard on yourself. You treat yourself like shit. Don't do it. Nobody's going to like you. Yes, hopefully you're your own worst critic, But the best part about it is if you use your values, like for me, a lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. Gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. All of these different things allow me to cancel, clear, connect when I am too much of a critic, when I am too negative. I can take the constructive side of what I want to do. I can take the pain that I'm giving myself, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, or financial pain. I can take the disappointment, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, and I can learn from it. I can take it like the turnstile and say, you know what? I feel this. I have control of what I feel. I think this, I have control of what I think. I say this, I have control of what I say. No need to be diminishing of my capacity. I want to reduce that negativity and I want to get what I want. I want to seek all that I have, everything for everyone. I have control of what I do, my actions, all that I say, think, and believe. I have control of my mindset. And as we know, I have the control of how I feel. So even if others may think that I'm hard on myself or being a critic, maybe it makes me feel good because I have complete control of the illusions and projections of how I feel, the energy in which I give, the frequency or vibration in which I give to my projection. My eyes don't input, they output. That's the way that I utilize my eyes to project what I want with faith, with love, kindness, and lessons. Oh, wow, this is crazy synchronicity. I am having problems with family members who are very negative about a party I think I am developing or plan or business with my beekeeping cousin. You just answered all of my questions. Oh, I'm glad I answered all the questions. Can somebody out there answer all of mine? Because I don't know what I don't know and I'm a hypocrite. I'm learning every day. I have so many questions, but the cool thing about this question is I love people that are more interested than interesting. Questions create more questions, and that creates more what's in my life. Then I got to do the research, be more interested than interesting, and find who has the what that I need and ask them for it or the lessons of it or how to do it. How do you define emotional negativity that can make sense to common people? So emotion is energy in motion. It's the way we feel. If you pragmatically listed out people who live in the world of not enough, people who live in a world of just enough, and to me that's defined as people who buy things they don't need for people to impress that they don't like, or people that live in an abundant world, more than enough of everything for everyone. If no matter what they had, there's people that have everything that live in a world of not enough, people who have everything that live in the world of just enough, and people who have everything that live in the world of more than enough. There are also people who have very little that live in all three worlds. And to define the emotional negativity would be to determine which world somebody lives in. No matter what your material possessions or what your skills, capabilities, or desires are, if you feel good and happy and live in an abundant universe, then you now can define where your emotional negativity or spectrum or where you lie on the spectrum of that. And moreover, too, the reverse is in order. All right, last question. Whoa. How do you help your negative spouse change their mindset? So the real question is, how do we change the mindset, heart set, and the actions of the people who are most relative to us? A spouse, a parent, a child would be most relative in an intimate relationship to us. Let me tell you something. None of them are here for you. None of them are here for you. They're all here through you. My children, not for me. They're through me. My mommy, not for me, through me. My wife, wonderful as she is, not here for me. She's here through me. When you shift your paradigm from a world of everything's for you to the world of abundance, of everything's through you, you won't find a need to change anyone except for who? That's right, you. Because all you cowards out there, look in there. You don't gotta change anything. Change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. You cannot force that. You're creating resistance. What you resist persists. Please look inwards, especially with those people most intimate, most relative that we care the most about. Allow them to come through you. Look inward, not outward. All right, everyone. Extraordinary training. Remember, if you'd like a free guide of reducing negativity in your life, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Text me to join our community, 949-298-2905. If you want my book, which has Cancel, Clear, Connect, and a lot of these ideas in it, please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Text me, 949-298-2905. If you want to try out for my new TV show, please, it's a pitch competition, the two-minute drill. Please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Text to join my community, 949-298-2905. As always, my favorite time of week, favorite lesson of the day, of course, is always be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Have a great week. Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook, but more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all of the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.